We just thank you for this morning. We thank you, Lord, that as your word goes out this morning, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, that your word does not return void, but that it accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish here this morning. And in all that is said and all that is done, we give you alone the praise, the honor, and the glory. May all the praise go to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Good. Well, it's always good to be able to share the word. And folks, how many of us remembered what I spoke about 2 weeks ago? Yeah. You've got it down. I see people paging through there. Well, the good thing is that you all got little books that you're making notes in. All right. But, okay. So basically what I did about two weeks ago, I thought, well, you know, let's just speak a little bit about, you know, James and just kind of see what James can share with us. And then last week, I said to you, I was so excited about the previous week, I thought, well, let's do it again. Is that true? Yeah. How many of us can remember what I said last week? Sorry? How to live life. Okay. But again, we listened. Yeah, that was about resisting temptation and all of that. All right. And again, just taken out of James, I thought, well, let's do it again. All right. Now, it's very interesting about James. This letter of James, that some people will say that if you preach from James clearly and accurately, don't be surprised if people in the church leave. All right? People, they will leave because sometimes people are at a place where they don't like to hear the truth. And in actual fact, James, when we go through this letter of James, we know that James is extremely direct. Is that right? He's very direct. But he wants to show us, folks, he wants to encourage us how you and I should be living our lives. That's what that letter is all about. How we should be living our lives. So as I share the word of God here this morning from James, it might be a bit uncomfortable, but I know that in this church, people are not concerned about that. And I know too that in this church, that if there is something that you find challenging and difficult, you're not going to shoot the messenger, you are actually going to take that thing to the Lord. Is that right? Can I be assured of that? You're going to take it to the Lord in prayer. So the title of my message here this morning is, to benefit from God's word will require a response. Now that's true. And it took me a long time to come up with that title. Right? But it's so true. To benefit, if we are really going to benefit from the word of God, there is a response from us that needs to take place. It's no good just being exposed to the word of God Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and never responding to the word of God. So we need to make sure that we respond to God's word. Now we need to all, I would say, be able to benefit from the word of God. Is that right? Each one of us here today. So this morning, I want to point us to something that can actually change our self-image. But not only change our self-image, it is something that has the potential to have other people see us differently. I want to point us to the Word of God this morning. Because folks, if we apply the Word of God, we embrace the Word of God, and we live the Word of God, we change. There's no question about that. And we will see it in the Word here this morning. So God's Word, the Word of God, is actually, it's a moral mirror. Huh? You read the Word of God, and as you're reading the Word of God, you can compare God's Word to how you and I are living our lives. And very, very quickly, you will be able to pick up, you know, areas in our own lives where we are actually missing the mark. Is that right? So the Word of God is a moral mirror, and the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to help us to see ourselves the way that we really are. That's what the Word does. So when we see ourselves in line with the Word of God, we may discover that some adjustments need to be made. How many of us know already that some changes need to be made in our own lives? And I could say we all of us should put up our hands to that. So the thing is that we can all benefit from the Word of God, from reading the Bible. And of course, the Bible is written by the hand of man. Is that true? Man wrote the Bible, but it was under the unction and under the anointing of God, the Holy Spirit. Because so often, you know, people think, well, you know, man wrote it. No, the hand of man wrote it, but it was under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And folks, the Bible is a very practical book. And I'm sure that all of us here this morning would like to be able to benefit from it. Is that right? So let me ask a question. Would you like to know the practical steps that will guarantee that you and I will be able to benefit from the Word of God? I'm sure that we would all like to know that. So let's have a look. Okay, let's have a look, you know, at what I'm going to be linking this to James here this morning. The first one, the first step, that we must be receptive to God's Word. This is so important. We have to be receptive. We need to be those who respond to the Word of God. We actually, folks, we need to open our hearts and allow God's Word in. I can tell you right now, and we can sit here week in and week out, and there are no changes. We're doing the right thing by coming to church, but we are not, some of us at times, I'm not saying all the time, but we are not as receptive to the Word of God as we should be. Because if we are, there's going to be adjustments and changes made in our own life. Is that true? So we need to open up our hearts and receive what the Word of God says. Now, he says here in James chapter 1, verse 19, he says, "Know this, my brothers, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God." Is that true? When we get ourselves all wound up, when that taxi cuts you off on the road, you know, that anger, the anger of God, he says, does not produce the righteousness. Sorry, that anger does not produce the righteousness of God. Goes on to say, "Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls." Now, verse 21 tells us that we need to receive the word of God with meekness. Think about that. We need to receive the word of God with meekness. And that is really an attitude, isn't it? We receive the word of God with meekness. In other words, we humbly accept God's word that is planted on the inside of us. In other words, we also welcome the word of God. And so we need to cultivate our heart, and also not just the heart, really a life and a lifestyle that welcomes God's word. Huh? Question. What kind of life is that? It's a life that is characterized by an attitude of humility, first of all. We need to be a humble people. In fact, nowhere in the Bible does it say that God will humble you. The word is very clear that we need to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. So it is characterized by, you know, an attitude of humility, and it's also then characterized by openness, that we have an openness to be able to receive the word of God, or an openness towards God's word. Because if we don't have that, folks, we're not going to benefit from it. So we need to be willing to receive God's word just in the same way as soil receives a seed. He draws a comparison here. James says that the word of God is implanted in us. Just as a seed is planted into soil, the word of God is implanted into us. And then James gives us four pointers on how to prepare our hearts. Our hearts have to be ready and prepared. And in fact, he gives us his pointers, but I suppose there are maybe four behaviors that he's given us right here that I believe will help us to be able to receive the word. Now, the first one is the capacity to listen. Think about it. The capacity to listen. He says in verse 19, he says, "Know this, my beloved brothers, Let every person be, what does he say? Quick to hear. Now, these are not just words that we hear in that kind of impact on our ears, right? This is really listening to what God says. I don't know if you've ever, if this happens to you, but if this happens to me. When I'm reading my word, and I read the word every day, and I'm reading my word, and I can be, you know, reading along, and then all of a sudden I say to myself, hang on a second, what did the last paragraph say? Man, and I don't know. And the reason why I don't know, and the reason why I have to go back and read it again, is because while I was reading that paragraph, my mind started wandering. And I started thinking about other, I still read it, but I wasn't engaged. I wasn't thinking about it. You know, in other words, I wasn't hearing what the word of God. So you know, we can physically hear his word, but not really hear it. Does that make sense? We can hear it, but we don't hear it. In other words, it's an attitude of the heart, and we need to make sure that we position our heart in a place where we are able to hear the word of God. So that's the first one. It's a capacity to you know, be able to listen. The next point that will help us receive the word is a controlled tongue. He speaks about this. He says we need to be slow to speak. And one of the things that actually stops us from hearing God is when we're speaking. We're speaking too much so often, you know. We're not able to hear God when, you know, we are continually speaking. It's very difficult to hear in that place. So we're going to hear only when we make sure that we settle and we prepare ourselves, you know, to be able to hear so that we can actually hear God talking. And I was thinking about this. Isn't it quite interesting how God created us? Huh? I mean, we're just amazing, you know, just the way he's created people. But one thing that we can see is that he has given us two ears and one mouth. Now, maybe this is some indication of the talking to listening ratio. I'm just saying, okay? Maybe it is something that we can focus on. You know, because so often we don't hear because we are not listening. Now, has this ever happened to you? You see somebody and you say to them, hello, and their response is, fine, thank you, and you? No, I'm saying, they heard you, but they weren't listening. I didn't ask how you were, I said hello. Right, fine, thank you, and you? And, I mean, sometimes, folks, first of all, it's not listening, and sometimes we actually treat the Lord like this. We like this with God. We're too quick to speak, and we don't hear what he's actually saying to us. The third thing here, for us to be able to receive the word, that we should have a calm demeanor. How many of us think that when we are all wound up, right, all anxious on all, you know, whatever it is, that we are able to hear the Lord in that state? Now, he speaks about this, and he uses one example, anger. Do you think when you are wound up and you are angry, whatever that situation is, do you really think that you're able to hear God when you're in that place? Huh? Slow to anger. So we need to make sure that we have a calm demeanor. So anger is really a demeanor that is not calm. And this anger, there's a whole bunch of other things you can add to it. You know, he uses the example of anger here. And it does not produce the righteousness of God. He says in verse 20, for the anger of man does not produce the righteous life that God desires. So folks, for us to be able to hear him, we need to make sure that we are settled in terms of our emotions. And really, if we are in this place, you know, we're not going to be able to benefit from the word of God. Huh? If we are all angry or what other emotion that we might be going through. So if we don't somehow calm our spirits down, and this is what it is, we need to calm our spirits down so that we are able to then hear God when he speaks to us. Tell the person next to you, learn how to protect your peace. Now that phrase I've just given you, the Lord spoke to me about that the other day, right? Because all of us have the potential to get wound up, and we get wound up and we start to lose our peace. And I'm trying, and maybe we should all try, we need to learn how to protect our peace. So we have a lot of opportunities that our peace can go. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. So we should choose to cultivate. Somehow we need to choose to cultivate a calm spirit. And also don't allow your anger or any one of those other things to be a barrier between you and God. You know, you communicating with God and God communicating with you, but you can't hear him because of how we are, you know, kind of wound up, because our peace is not there. Is this helpful? I think James is very, very good when it comes to this. So this is really why it's so important that we do not hold attitudes, and I can give you a few of them, like I mentioned anger, but what about resentment? You know, when you there's resentment and you see that person and their thing wells up on the inside of you. So we need to deal with that thing. We need to deal with resentment. We need to deal with bitterness. We need to deal with unforgiveness towards other people. And again, I want to say the main reason is really, you know, to set, number one, the Lord said we must do it. And number two is to set ourselves free. Folks, Jesus paid a huge price for your freedom and my freedom. And we need to walk in this freedom. And if you are bitter and bent out of shape and you don't forgive people and, you know, you're always angry and so on, I can tell you something. You are not enjoying the freedom that the Lord has actually purchased for us. Because when we hold these things in our hearts, okay, we're not going to be in a place where we are experiencing that calmness, and we are going to struggle to hear God. Is that okay? And then the fourth one, for us to receive the full benefit of the Word of God, we must choose to lead a pure life. Now here, this is where old James comes in like a cowboy. Man, he comes in and he shoots from the hip. Bang, 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 bang. He gives it to us. And we need to hear what he's saying because it's good for us. Huh? Sorry, you know, if you've come here to have your ears tickled, you know, maybe you shouldn't be here. Be somewhere where you can enjoy having your ears tickled. But we're going to share it as it is because James tells us in verse 21, he says, put away all filthiness. And then he also says, and put away all rampant wickedness. Now, what's interesting about this, he's speaking to Christians. This letter is not to unbelievers. This letter of James, he is writing to believers in Jesus. And this is what he says. Put away all filthiness. Put away and rampant wickedness and so on. And basically he says that we must do this. Folks, don't ask Jesus to do it for you. There's some things that we have to make a decision about when it comes to our walk with the Lord. And we have to do this. And we need to choose. It's a choice to get rid of, you know, what he calls moral filth or whatever it is. That's our decision right there. And I know that these are strong words, but we need to hear it. You know, otherwise, and I said last week that if we do something that is not pleasing to the Lord, we know that we're doing it. But when we continue to do it, eventually it sears our conscience and we're not even concerned about it anymore. Okay? Because we just think it's not a big deal. So these, as I said, these are very, very strong words that he gives us. Because if we do not respond to what he's saying over here, we're going to find it difficult to hear God. I hear people, oh, I'll never hear God. Oh. Okay, should we ever chat about it? You know, and he tells us why. So the question then is, are there things in your life and in my life as well that we need to deal with, that we need to get rid of? And these are the things that are really, you know, kind of stopping us from hearing God. And folks, for us to receive the full benefit of God's word, we must start to get rid of those things that are holding us back. And we know what they are. Yeah. What's holding me back might not be holding you back and vice versa. But we know what they are. Then getting back to how I started. The next step, you know, for us to receive, all that the Bible has to offer, so that we can benefit from it. The next thing that we need to do is to submit to the Word of God. We submit to it. This is God's Word. We submit to it. Now you can look at this even in terms of cultures and so on. You know, culture is a wonderful thing. Is that right? We all come from different backgrounds and different cultures. But I want to say, folks, where we are in a situation and you've got culture and you've got the Word of God and culture and the Word of God, where there's a conflict there, culture bows its knee to the Word of God, right? Too often, you know, we find in situations where the Word of God in certain people's lives have to bow, God's Word bows its knee to culture. Culture has to bow its knee to the Word of God. So what he's saying to us now from verse 22 is that we need to be those who submit to God's Word. He says, remember I said he shoots from the hip. Imagine this guy. And remember, James is the half-brother of Jesus. James is the pastor, call him the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. This is what he says in verse 22. He says, but be doers of the word. Is that a suggestion? But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So when we are in a place where we hear the word of God and we do not do it, basically what he says there is deception in there. Okay? We are being deceived. He goes on to say, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror. For he looks at himself and he goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, or the one that looks into the Word of God. And then he says, and perseveres. So you don't just look in the Word of God. We need to look in the Word of God, and we continue, we persevere in the Word of God. That one, being a hearer who let me read it again. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, that person, the one who acts, is a doer of the word, will be blessed in his doing. So the first step that I mentioned earlier on is that we need to be receptive to the word of God. And now, the second step here, we need to be those folks who are submissive to God's word. In other words, we have to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. Not just paying lip service to God's word. So now James shows us three ways to do this. Are you interested? The first one, it requires examination. He says in verse 25, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty. So James is not talking about someone who kind of just looks at the word. You know, okay, I'm looking at the word of God like this. He's talking about somebody who looks at the word of God, but is looking at the word of God with intensity. And that needs to be us. We need to be making sure that when we engage with God's word, we do it with intensity. And this is how we should be looking at the word of God. And, he points here that, don't just glance at it. You know, people, okay, glancing at God's word, we just kind of glance at the word. He wants us to not glance at it, he wants us to gaze. He wants us to fix our eyes on the word of God. He wants us to concentrate as we are looking at the word of God. Making sure that we see it and making sure that we remember it as well. Is that right? Like I said, I catch myself so often just reading, but my mind's meandering all over the place. The next way to submit to God's word, it requires reflection. Is that true? We need to reflect on the word of God. James tells us that we must not only look intently at God's word, but that we need to review his word. We need to, as we look at it, we review it, we reflect on it. We use the word meditate on it. We meditate on the word of God. Verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, then he says, and perseveres. So that's comforting, folks, because that's something that we need to continually do. Is that right? Okay, so don't stop. And perseveres. That means that we continue. Being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Now James says that we must remember what we have heard and what we have read. Is that right? Then he says we must do what we have heard and what we have read. We need to be doers of the word of God. And he goes on to say that when we do what is, you know, what the word says, that we will be blessed in it. And I'm sure all of us want to walk in that and, you know, experience the blessings of the Lord because we are just being obedient. You know, David, you know, I mean, what an amazing guy. You know, as a young boy, a shepherd, then he went out and remember he took out Goliath. And I mean, that's just, I need to speak about that again sometime because that I find so exciting. When he threw that stone went out and it says that it hit Goliath right on his forehead and it sunk into his forehead. Right? That was the Lord's involvement in that. Right? And as he went down. And yet David was known as a man after God's own heart. God said that about David. And yet David, what did he do? You know, with Bathsheba, he committed adultery. And then, you know, there was a problem with all of that. And, you know, she fell pregnant. And then they had a plan. Well, he had a plan. I'm sure she didn't. I don't know. Who knows? But then he went out and he had Uriah the Hittite murdered. Her husband had him murdered. In the front lines. In battle. And yet God says that he is a man after his own heart. And of course there were consequences. When we go against God, there are consequences to our actions. And there, you go and read about that. There were consequences to David's actions. But here in Psalm 119 verse 11, David wrote these words. He says, I've stored up your word in my heart. In other words, David was somebody that would be continually embracing the word of God. And David said that he takes the word of God and he stores up on the inside of him. Then he tells us why. Why did David do it? That I might not sin against you, God. So, folks, we can see the importance of making sure that we are those that embrace God's word. And the word of God is our protection. Huh? Remember, even Jesus, when he was being tested, he just kept on using the word of God against Satan. It is written, it is written, it is written. So the word of God is our protection, and it's a word that actually defends us from the works of the evil one. He's out there. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, he wants to destroy, whatever he can do. But we can only, listen here, we can only use the word when we know the word. Gets back to it. We have to, folks, spend time in God's word. That God's like David, that the word of God is on the inside of us. And that when we need the word of God, it needs to come from within us. And I say that's not going to happen unless we know God's word. So there's a responsibility on us as believers in terms of our relationship with our Lord. The next thing, you know, we need to submit to God's word. And, you know, to submit to the word of God, am I right in saying it requires a response? Huh? We have to, the response. You can, you know, when it comes to the word of God, the only way that you can submit to the word of God is responding to it. I don't know if there's another way. In fact, James tells us in chapter 1, verse 22, he says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And then he says in verse 25, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Folks, if you and I are not willing to do the Word of God, how can we expect, you know, this blessing? I'm just saying. I mean, he's told us here. If we refuse to do the Word of God, but we still want the favor of the Lord, and I know there's grace in all of this. I'll speak a little bit about grace now. But if we are not willing to do the Word of God, can we really just expect continually to be blessed, although we are not doing what he's telling us to do? You know, many believers will go through these steps. They will hear the Word of God, like I've said. The next step is they will receive the Word of God. That's the next step. But they refuse. Many refuse to take the next essential step, doing what God commands. I'm happy to hear it. I'm happy to receive it. I'm not going to do it. And that's a decision that you do. And, you know, somehow many people actually think that they will receive the incredible, you know, blessings from the Father. And I know, again, His grace is there. But still being totally disobedient to what He's saying. He tells us to do something, we don't do it. And we get bent out of shape when we don't see the favor of God resting upon our lives. I've said now God is a God of grace. Is that true? What is grace? It's that undeserved favor, that unmerited favor. So God is a God of grace, and we get the favor poured out where we don't believe it. But does this, and I'm asking us a question, does this now give us the license to reject God's commands and reject God's instructions that He actually gives us? I'm not going to do what He told me to do it. Oh, I'm just going to receive His grace. I'm just saying. We need to be real. And as I said, James, I think he nails it. Yeah. The final way of benefiting from God's word is that we need to be moved. Moved by the word of God. God's word. In other words, God's word, when we read it, it needs to touch us deeply, deep on the inside of us. And I want to ask us, when you read the word of God, does the word of God move you? He says in verse 26, if anyone thinks he's religious, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. So that's something else he's telling us. If we don't bridle our tongues and we say that we are, you know, so close to the Lord and we're religious and whatever it is, what he's saying that if we do not control this, our tongue, this person's religion is worthless. Dave, how can you say that? Oh, it's so nice. James? You said it. But he carries on. He says now, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father, is to visit orphans, we know that, and widows in their affliction. But watch what he says now. This is a part that I want to kind of emphasize. He says, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. We need to keep ourselves unstained from the world, from this world system. Not allowing the muck of the world and the world system to stick to us. That's what he says. Huh? And folks, there's unfortunately a great disparity between what Christians say they believe and how they behave. The same. What we say we believe and how we conduct ourselves out there, how we behave. And James tells us that, you know, that we should actually allow ourselves to move and to act on the Word of God, and that we need to make a decision, and it is a decision, make a decision and choose to be a doer and not just a hearer of God's Word. Because what he's saying is, man, that's just hypocrisy. You know, just hypocrisy. And it's not going to happen unless we choose to do it. Now, that's what I'm saying. You know, our Christian walk, we sit in church. You sit in church. You see the every Sunday Christians. You see the Christians that come every second week. You see the Christians that come once, you know, well, they come every third week. You see the once a monthers. And you see the once every 6 weekers. I know them. You know. Eh? Yeah, we even have the once a yearers. Huh?
Christmas time.
Yeah, Christmas. And I'm just saying, folks, I look at that. There's nothing more, you know, that we can do than other than share the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is now up to an individual to make a decision on their lives, remembering that we are preparing ourselves for our eternity. And there's some people will just summer, you know, the once monthers or the once every 6 weekers, whatever it is. Man, okay, I'm saved, but okay, 6 weeks, I better pull into church. You know, have a little, you know, make a little boost. And I'm just saying we can't live out our lives like that. Jesus, you know what Jesus said? He says, what does he say? You're either lukewarm or you
cold.
Well, he spoke about, you know, being hot and being lukewarm. Folks, being lukewarm, he says, I'd rather you be cold. Because if you're lukewarm, you're just one of those that kind of, you know, it's your way. You're just cherry picking the word of God. Yes, I'll do this. And I'll do that. Oh, no, this offends me because it's going to impact on my life. I won't do this and I won't do that. Cherry picking the word of God, lukewarm, and he says, I will spew you out of my mouth. Maybe James is right. Maybe we're going to only have a few people here next week. No, we need to call it what it is, all right? So, we need to be moved by the word of God. And we need to be those who are not just hearers of the word of God, he says. We need to be doers as well. And it's not going to happen unless we choose, we make that decision. The person that comes to church every 6 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever they do, they've made a decision to do that. Don't blame God. Don't blame the devil. Okay? Go and listen to last week's message or the one before on this. Okay, we come up and we come, you know, it's inconvenient. Oh, listen, brother, I like to play tennis on Sunday mornings. You know, I'm under God's grace. Yeah. Anyway. I'm just saying. James, how can you be so insulting to all of us here this morning? It's the word, Dave. Thank you, James. Let me carry on. Yes, carry on. Okay, thanks. Let's choose to be here. Choose. This word, choose, making a decision, choose, needs to be in our vocabulary, right? To be people who are doers of the word of God and not just hearers. And folks, something else. You know, when we are out there in this lost and dying world, out there, unbelievers need to see that we are different. They need to see Christ in you, the hope of glory, right? And not only see Christ in you, the hope of glory, they need to see something in you and something in me that they want. They want. Man, I want what you've got. Not where we diluted and it's lukewarm and, you know, one foot in the kingdom and one foot in whatever. They need to see us, and we need to be able to make a difference. And by the way we live our lives, the way we conduct ourselves, this is what needs to happen. Okay? And there's a responsibility, I said right in the beginning, we have a responsibility to get out into this lost and dying world. Huh? Hey, and tell them. Even if they don't believe, but we're going to tell them. So people should see Christ in you and say, I want what they've got. So, as I close, what has God said to us today? Oh, I'm scared to carry on. No, I'm not. Okay. What is there in my life that is actually stopping me from serving God the way that I should serve God? What am I willing to do about it? I know what it is. What am I willing to do about it? Has God said to me, you know, Dave, or some of us have, calm down so that you can hear me. Huh? You looked at that. Okay. Some of us, maybe it's just too much anger in our lives. Some of us, it might be sin issues in our lives that God is speaking to us about, and we're continually not making the right choice. Right? So as you think about what God is saying to you right now, we need to take these messages and make them personal. We need to ask ourselves a question. Okay? What is it that I need to do? What is it that I need to change? Okay? And now, folks, maybe now's the time to make a quality decision. Whatever that thing is that he's speaking to us about, make a quality decision and let's just do what he tells us to do. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah.